football on Off the Ball.
My fan head is running away with me. I have Arsenal winning the league, but the pundit had him, he says, that big blue machine that is just reading down Arsenal's neck.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB. Proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
You are welcome back. So Athenry beat St Finbarr's to claim the All-Ireland Senior Camogie title over the weekend in the club game. 14 points to 12 is how things finished, with the Galway side getting it done. At the second time of asking, it was of course a replay. It is the Galway club's first All-Ireland since 1977, and their manager is the legendary Joe Rabbit. Joe, congratulations. Thanks so many for joining us on the show.
Thanks very much.
Talk to us about Athenry over the past couple of days. I presume it's gone to a place of pure joy.
It's absolutely wonderful in Athenry at the moment. You know, we're all vices are gone, kind of trying to come back again. But you know, it's the celebrations are great. I suppose we had to park Christmas or party Christmas anyway for a while, so we have to make up now for what we missed out on.
Definitely, I see the Christmas tree is still up over your shoulder. You'll have to keep that up till February.
We're knocking the next week out of it this year now. Yeah. You know, as I was saying today, this is kind of a COVID Christmas for us. You know, so we have to work up the time. You know, you kind of miss Christmas like that. You know,
that's it. Because like, you wouldn't mind too much if the plan was always January. The fact that January kind of came out of nowhere because of the drawn game in December, it changes your Christmas at late notice.
But I suppose at the time, you know, when we were 6 points down, 5 minutes to go in the drawn game, we were very happy to be in it after Christmas, you know. So I suppose I'm both of us in that's it, you know. So you know, I know that the game was on the 3rd of January, which kind of didn't really suit the festive season as such, but you know, we had a bunch of girls that were prepared to, you know, put their lives on hold, I suppose, basically, and prepare for an All-Ireland final. And thanks be to God they did that, and we just happened to get the result on the day.
Did he train much over Christmas?
I think 7 sessions we had over Christmas. So like, that was it was kind of a 3 week break. So we tried to do as much as we could. Now the weather was nice as well, so it was dry, so we were able to go on pitches in the middle of the day, so it worked out all right that way, you know. So we had to keep it going and just try and I suppose keep the momentum going, you know.
The thing that you point out there about the comeback in the first game, and as it turned out you had to come from a few points down in the second game as well, is the fact that it feels not like bonus territory, but it feels like you've got a second chance going into that second game. So when you get to the starting line last weekend, do you feel that added confidence? Do you feel that you have a little bit of a psychological edge given how the last game went, how the drawn game went?
Yeah, I suppose. Look at, you know, if Embers, you know, will be kicking themselves really to his back from 6 points. You know, there were 6 points up and I suppose 5 minutes of normal time going, and there was a bit of extra time on that. But for us, really, I suppose when the final whistle went in the drawing game, we were all excited. We were delighted that we got back to draw the game, whereas I suppose Finbarr's on the other side, they were disappointed to have let us back. So we had a bit of a momentum coming into it, and look, that's not going to win All-Irelands for you either, you know. Momentum, you have to work. And to win All-Irelands, you know, you have to put everything on the line, and that's what the girls did on the replay, and especially with the grounds where they were. You know, it was kind of dangerous enough at times, but look, it was dangerous for both of us, and we had to deal with it, and I suppose thanks be to God we did, and we made it, you know.
Yeah, the ground is a real talking point. Were you thinking that the game might actually be called off the morning of?
Yeah, well, to be fair, when we got up there and we walked out and I was a bit, you know, suspect on it, but when we got out into the warm up then, and you know, it seemed better when the lights were on, and it seemed to be a bit better, you know. So it's a simple, there was no injuries, thanks be to God. The referee, I suppose, made the right call on the day, because there was no major injuries, and as I said, the game went ahead. And if it was called off, like when will we be playing it again? So, you know, I suppose that's it, you know. So we're delighted anyway that it went ahead at the moment.
Yeah.
If we lost, it might be a different story, you know.
It did also occur to me that it must be easier to play in a pitch that's either all frost or no frost. Half of it being covered in frost and half of it being with grass being visible is no help to anybody.
Yeah, but look, it was still fine. No, yeah. I'd have to go on the I'd have to go on the side of the ref. There'd be maybe one spot down roughly where the RTE cameras were down in that corner that I'd say was fairly frozen. But the rest of the pitch really was fairly good. Even where the frost was, it wasn't what you call, you know, hard frost. It was the ground was breaking up a bit, so even it looked worse than what it was really. You know.
Yeah, for sure. When it comes to the game then, as you mentioned, the drawing game, you have to come back from down by 6 points, and then it's 4 at the weekend before coming back. There was a period in the game where Finbarr's score 8 on the bounce. What can you do on the sideline to try and arrest momentum like that?
Not really, not much really, you know. I suppose looking in every game, everyone gets the proper patch, you know. And I suppose what we were hoping is that, you know, we would get... When we were 4 points down, we were hoping that, you know, we just get a run on them and maybe get 1 or 2 points and get back to 1 or 2 points off them, and that puts pressure on them again. But as I say, we brought on Anna Jordan and we bring on Molly New, which, you know, they're two very good impact subs for us. But look at it, really and truly, it has to be the girls on the day that have to take the initiative themselves, and, you know, their work rate and their willingness to win the dirty ball, as I always said, it's amazing for the girls, you know. So, you know, as you asked the question, what can the management do? Management really have to trust the players on the field, and we did, and we got our just reward for it.
Because it's also hard to put your finger on, you know, what the story is of this Athenry team. Do you look towards the more experienced players in the team and say that's the reason why they managed to come from behind in 2 games? Or do you actually point to the younger members of the squad and say, actually, it's the exuberance of youth that allowed them to come back into the game? It's probably a bit of both.
Yeah, look, it is a bit of both. You know, you have to look at we'll say, the scores that we got. There was a lot of girls involved in them scores. And you can look at Trey's and you can look at Jesse, we'll say, you know, their work rate was fantastic in the last 10, 15 minutes. So was all the other players really in the feed as well. You know, you have to say that it was a kind of a team performance, really. You know, so where we have the bit of experience, we also have the youth and we have the legs. Now I can, you know, the experience have legs as well, and I still tell you, you know, they're fantastic girls, and, you know, they weren't caught wanting for any run that they had to make either, you know. So but it's just the team, I suppose, that just grabbed initiative and went for it. And when we got a few scores and we came back within 2 points, we kind of, you know, we started with dare to believe in and dream, you know. So that was it, you know. So getting back into, you know, to we were one point up, and then they came back and they drew it again, and then we went 2 again. So, like, just fantastic feeling, you know.
You mentioned Therese there, Therese Donoghue. She was really to the fore at the weekend, going strong at 44 years of age. What have you seen from her throughout the whole season in terms of how well she's still going in training in every single round throughout Galway and on this run to the All-Ireland?
Yeah, but look at Trace came to us early in the year, and we were talking to Trace early in the year, and you wouldn't be expecting Trace at 44 to do as much training, we'll say, through the year as you would have of a 24, you know. So basically Trace, you know, being Trace, went about it in her own way, and Trace didn't play the first two games off the championship for us at that time. So look at really, we were, as you could say, maybe sparing her and making sure that we had her for when we needed her. And by God, didn't she pay us back on that one, you know. So Jesse the same way. Jesse didn't play the first games, you know. We just got through the first games without the two of them behind Jesse for a while in both of them. But then when it came to the closing stages, Jesse and Trez were fresh and ready for action, you know. And I suppose that's the way it was worked, you know. So, and look at two fantastic girls, and it's amazing. It's just amazing to see Trez there at 44, the way she's flying up and down the feed, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's smart management, knowing that it has to be a different approach for different players, given the massive age gaps that exist in the squad. It would be very easy to say, look, it's you can't have one rule for some and different rules for the others. I guess having bespoke options for different players, particularly the ones that are legendary inside in the dressing room, is the way you can actually harness some long-term success.
Look, I wouldn't be one of those managers that would be, you know, going to Trez and saying, "Oh, Trez, listen, you have to go to every training session because it's not fair on the other girls." I think that's wrong, completely wrong, because you know, every girl from top to bottom, they all have their own different ways of training as well. So we knew that Trez and Jesse would be ready. We didn't really have to worry about the two of them, you know, because the two of them would work on their own, you know, to make sure that their preparation was right. Now we'd have a lad as well, Cormac Ward. He's our strength and conditioning. He'd be on, kind of be, you know, again, making sure that Trez and Jesse would be doing the right things. And where the younger girls, then we'll say during the year, or playing the league, or you know, as I said, the first game from the championship, we'll be using them because it's great for them as well to get that experience, you know. And then. You know, when we needed the two girls, just to have them fresh and have them ready for the battles that were going to be coming towards the closing end of the championship.
On your daughters then, on Sabina and Alwyn, they've been through the wars this year.
Yeah. That's sport. That's contact sport. You know, I suppose the county final, Alwyn was coming out with us. It was in the extra time. She'd come out with the ball, and she was just met knee to knee, and she just had her leg, planted, and she ruptured her ACL, you know, and that was a big blow to us, you know, and I suppose we didn't play her in the All Ireland semi final because she wasn't moving that well at that time, but I don't know what came over after the All Ireland semi final, but she just seemed to take off, and she started to play well, and I just got a brace for Alwyn then up in Inverkinney where I just googled it, and this ACL brace, so she put her on one even training, and she started moving well, and we were saying, you know, you'd never know, because like everyone that I was talking to, my strength and conditioning guy, my physios were saying you're crazy, you know. So anyway, look, it was herself, in fairness, that, you know, wanted to do it. And I, as a father, I suppose I was a bit worried on that, you know, as a manager and as a father, like you'd be saying that if things went wrong for Alwyn, like people would turn around and say, what kind of a yoke is that that's done out there in ACL? But no, it was her that wanted to do it, you know, and fair play to her. You know, she took it on and you know, for a girl with that kind of an injury, I don't really know, you know, what to say about it, you know. But then Sabina was saying that the 10 minutes gone in the drawing game, she fractured the bone in her foot, and so like she came in at halftime that game, and she was basically crying with pain. And what could we do? We said, Sabina, we need you to go out again, and she went out again for the second half. But anyway, after the game, then of course we found out what was wrong with her, so because we had to do what kind of healing we think, you know, ourselves, like, so back around here, we believe that running water is a good, you know, remedy for getting circulation going. So during the Christmas, I myself and Sabina will go back maybe morning time or night time. There's a lovely stream that runs along in Newcastle, and she'd be sitting in the bank, and she'd have her foot in the stream for maybe 10 or 15 minutes until her foot had turned red. So like it seemed to work, and it seemed to get the circulation going. And it's, you know, when we came to the All-Ireland final, then replay, in fairness, to, you know, she was fine. We had her out running the Thursday before the All-Ireland replay. So we saw that she was running well, and that was it. Then the rest is history after that. You know, what can you do? You know, you have to, you know, if you have them, you have to play them, and that's it, you know.
That's absolutely amazing. There's so much in that. The way you described the Alwyn thing there, we didn't play her in the semi-final. That suggests to me that she wanted to play the semi-final.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, but look, I did say this. I'd say we played a game. She didn't want to play. Of course she wanted to play. But we had 2 weeks in before the semi-final and the All-Ireland, we'll say, drawn game. And we had a game on Saturday before, and Alwyn played centre field with the brace on. And, you know, she was moving well. So we sat down then as a management team, and I had the 8 guys with me because we'd be also having a junior team involved. So the 8 guys sat down, and 4 went for her and 4 went against her. And it was left to me, kind of the deciding vote for the All-Ireland. So I suppose, look, we went with it, and you know, in fairness to her, she repaid us, thanks be to God, you know. So and you know, she got through the 2 games fairly well. You know, the leg would be a bit hot and a bit sore after it, but you know, she didn't do any more damage anyway, thanks be to God, you know.
So how many weeks between the cruciate injury and her getting back onto the field of play?
Six weeks, yeah. Yeah.
it's a medical marvel.
Yeah, we don't actually know. We're just talking to Alwyn there this evening, and she's thinking about trying to maybe get the operation done as soon as she can, you know, because the surgeons, I think, they don't like to do an operation with 6 weeks after you damage it, let's put it that way. But the fact that she played a game, they're talking about pushing on the operation another 6 weeks. So she just wants to get it done and get it over with and, you know, start the rehab, I suppose, as soon as she can, you know. So, it's amazing. I don't know what to say about it, you know, because I wouldn't be in that, you know, that circle. But look, I suppose when you go back to our time, you know, I know my knee was, about 2 years ago, my knee was very, very sore. And I went into the doctor and I had an MRI, and the MRI showed up that I did have a bit of damage in a cruciate at one stage. But you kept going. You didn't know anything about it, you know. So I'm sure that there may be something like that, you know, that some people are able to maybe withstand the pain better than others or something like that. I don't know, you know. But look at, thanks be to God, she did it, and we've got all our now money on it, that's it.
Absolutely. And then just the last one on that, the knee brace that you mentioned there, did you just Google knee braces and one was available? And you did you drive up to Letterkenny to pick it up? Or
No. I rang them and I told them to send it down. So we had to measure Alwyn's leg as well to get the right size. So we did it and they sent it down. And funny enough, I had to get the second one because the first one that she used, you know, when you use a brace, you know, when you keep moving it and bending it, it kind of get weaker. So we got a second one for the All Ireland final, then the replay. So it was tighter and on her leg, you know. So look at the brace seemed to hold things together, you know, and that's it, you know.
Amazing, amazing. It's incredible, really, what some of these All Ireland victories have in terms of the stories that are going on under the radar that we're so unaware of until afterwards. Everybody's got these stories going on. It's absolutely incredible what the two of them went through to get out on the pitch over the last couple of games. I did want to ask you as well, because you gave this brilliant, brilliant interview on the side of the pitch to Valerie after the game, speaking about Kate Moran, who you'd lost 3 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit about Kate and the importance of her memory in that dressing room all season as he went all the way to the All-Irelands?
Look at Kate's memories in the dressing room since 2022, you know, so.
Yeah.
Look at Kate was one of those girls, I suppose, that you know, she was just an infectious type of girl. She was great car crack and she was always smiling and she was just a beautiful girl. And, you know, I suppose we lost her in 2022. And, I do have to say to our girls off the panel that, you know, I often say that, you know, you go down the road and maybe one of your, thanks be to God, it never happened, but someone maybe have a crack hair crash in the corner and they may have passed away in that corner. And every time you come to that corner, you always think about the person that has passed away in that corner, you know. And, so it's the same thing with those girls will say with Camogie, because every time they picked up a hurl or every time they went playing Camogie, you know, it was like, you know, Kate, you know, it was Camogie that basically took Kate away from us. So we were very lucky that the girls really were able to maybe put it behind them and try and move on. But like they moved on, but they never left Kate behind them. You know, she's in their memory and she always will be, because I suppose, no, it's not that we keep talking about Kate all the time, but it's just such a, it's such a hard thing, you know, to comprehend at that age group to see a beautiful 20-year-old girl just pass away in front of your two eyes, you know. So, and all her friends around looking at all this happening, you know. So, it was really a horrific time in their lives, you know. So, but, you know, they were strong enough to be able to move on. And I suppose as a management, we had to do a lot of things in order to try and I suppose limit the damage that was done to them, what they seen, you know. So, but it took us, I suppose, 3 or 4 months for them to get back in the field after that happened. So, but when they went back, then they seemed to work away all right, you know. But going back to Kate, look, she was in All Ireland. She won 2 All Ireland under 16s. She was a fantastic Camogie player, and she was from a kind of a I suppose, a family of hurling, if you know, the Mordens in at the Ryan Newcastle. They were, you know, amazing hurling people, you know. So, like, she was going to be such a prospect for us, but for us as a management to have to pick a team without her, you know, it was tough enough too, you know, because when you have a player like that and you lose her, you know, there's always a void left in that situation, you know. So, but as I say, look, she'll never be forgotten anyway. That's it, you know.
Okay, I can't even begin to imagine how you navigate that as a management team, because it seems that there is the grieving process, which I'm sure is still ongoing, and then also the trauma of seeing that happen on the pitch as well. It's an awful cocktail of things for the players to go through.
Yeah, but at the time, the management, I went by Parkland at the time, he's back with me again this year, and, you know, we were going, you know, it happened, and we said, you know, what were we going to do? So we went back into the gym, doing a small bit of strength and conditioning as a group, and that was fine, but went back in, and, you know, those floods of tears, because the last time they were there, tears with them, and this went on for maybe 2 weeks. So we just brought up, we said, brought in a lot of little pieces of paper, and we'd give every girl a piece of paper to write down their thoughts, and not to put their name in it, and put it into a little booklet that we had. So I got a couple of the people from a couple of top table to come and to read the little notes, what they said, and we wanted to know exactly what was inside them, and, you know, so they wrote the notes down, and you know, they were so sad looking at some of the notes on what they were thinking. But the majority of them said that, you know, they would like to go back playing camogie. So what we did then, rather than bringing them through into a hurling pitch, a good friend of ours back the road, Jason Finn, he'd be a very good soccer coach. So there was we brought them to a pitch, first of all, a soccer pitch, and Jason Finn did a session with them in soccer, you know. And I was just trying to break the the feeling that they had about going on to a pitch. So anyway, that evening they had a lovely time. Jason Finn gave them a really good training session, and they were all laughing and smiling playing that soccer. So we moved on from that then, and we played a bit of basketball, and we gathered them again with the basketball. So after about 2 months then, we said, you know, would you like to hit a few balls in the field? And they said, yeah, they'd like to. So we went into the pitch that evening, and like it was terrible on the pitch that evening, you know. When all the girls came back, and, you know, it was like everyone was crying in every corner, and so I suppose it was a process of healing that we were trying to do, you know. And so it worked anyway. They got through that year, and we got back into training, and we played Sarsfields in the county semi final that 22-1, and they beat us by 3 points, you know. So it was a kind of a process that you'd have to be very careful with, you know, because you didn't want to be pushing girls out in the pitch if they didn't want to be there, you know. So, but thanks be to God, it worked out, and we didn't lose. Maybe a few of them may have stepped away, but the majority didn't, you know.
That's an amazing idea, like an amazing way of doing your best to process what has happened. Because, I'm sure there would have been a temptation, listen, lads, we're going to go straight back out there. We're going to go straight back onto the pitch. Having the, I guess, the emotional intelligence to know, no, that's not the right thing. Let's hold off on doing this for a while. Was that just instinct, Joe? Did you lean on other people to try and figure out how best to navigate this?
Well, yeah, you know, you'd be trying to be getting advice, but like some advice we got was, I remember 10 days after Kate passing, that we had a meeting with two people, and they said, get out on the pitch as soon as you can. And I was saying, are you crazy? No, because, you know, you just couldn't do that, in my view, you know, because I suppose the way I live my life always was I always put myself in everyone else's shoes to see what it'd be like. So I taught myself that if that happened to me in my day, you know, how would I feel, you know, and really, you know, I wouldn't have liked to go out straight away. I just wanted a chance to get my head around what was after happened. So the fact of bringing them to the soccer pitch, and Jason Finn was so good with them, it was a great evening for them, you know. And I was just trying to break that fear of going out on the pitch again, let's put it that way, you know. So it just worked for us, really. And it was just a kind of a thing that we let the girls lead us. And then I suppose the first game we played, I rang, because we had two teams, with the senior team and junior team, I rang a hen up in Limerick, and I said, in fairness, they were very, very good to us. I said, I told them the problem where we were, and they understood it. And I said, look, we'd like to play a challenge game at senior level against a hen senior team. But we had another bunch of girls as well that were juniors. So they actually organized another junior team from around there to play our juniors. So we went down with a full busload of girls. We played the game, and we had a lovely evening, and we went into Limerick, and let the girls go shopping for a while after. So that was the first time we got back on the pitch, and teams like that and people like that from all over the country, like the goodwill of the people at the time, well, it was brilliant that anything that we asked, they did it for us, and then we kind of rolled on from there, but the hand was I suppose the one that we really, really have to thank in getting us back on the pitch,
Wow. God, such an awful story in one way, and then an amazing story in terms of everything that you've done since, and the recovery and getting back out there, and obviously last weekend being the crowning glory. I'm sure that's all still sinking in for you personally, Joe, but thank you so much for coming on the show this evening and sharing all that with us. And congratulations once again. I'm sure it's bittersweet in so many ways for you. Congratulations to you and to the daughters as well. They've been through a fair bit over the last little while. Athenry All-Ireland Club Camogie champions, and their manager, Joe Rabbit. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you. We'll take a quick break.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB, proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.